What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King podcast. This is episode number 191. All right, so today I pushed off our guest because I'm fresh off of coming back from an event, something called Arte Live, which was amazing, and got to learn some really cool things. But there's one thing that really stuck out to me, and there was a lot of business talk and a lot of strategy talk and a lot of different things that you can kind of come home and implement into your business or whatnot. But there was also kind of some life talk and a little bit of kind of purpose and meaning and some of those types of things, which that's kind of right up my alley. So I wanted to share one of the things because one of the speakers there is a guy named David Goggins. And he laid something out, and I've kind of heard variations of it before, something I've never really talked about on the podcast before. So full transparency, and I tell you in the episode, this was a lot from David Goggins, what kind of spurred this episode, but it's just really, 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 really good stuff. So hopefully you love it as much as I did. Also, make sure we're getting ready to restock if you're listening to this up to date. So we're about restocked with Crosso Meats. Sun's coming out around here locally, getting a little warmer. Perfect time to do some grilling, whether that's burgers or briskets or, steaks, obviously. So make sure, go to crossomeats.com, grab yourself some meat, be strong, be healthy, eat some red meat. All right, everybody, let's get started.
So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King podcast. As always, super excited to have you on board. So this week, I was going to do a guest, but I'm going to push that episode until next week with the guest because I am fresh off a live event that me and my lovely wife went out to in St. Louis this weekend. It's something called Arte Live. It's put on by two gentlemen named Andy Frisella and Ed Milette. Also had David Goggins there, who... pretty famous after writing a book. But real quick, before we dive into it, I know there's a ton of you listening to this that have never experienced like going to a business conference, a live event, or maybe a mastermind or something like that. I will tell you right now that you are costing yourself a ton of money, especially if you're in business and you're not at least somewhat often, and maybe it's once a year, right? But if you're not ever going to anything like that, you are costing yourself so much money, you have no idea. You just really are. Because the reality is that what most of us do is we'll say, I can't afford to leave for the weekend. I can't afford to buy the tickets. I can't afford to, get the hotel rooms or whatever else. The truth is that by not putting the money out there to do those things, you're costing yourself so much money because of the value that you'll get if you're going to the right events and if you're surrounding yourself with the right people. But again, it's like, I get it, right? I have four young kids, right? 13 down to 5. It's not easy for us to leave for 4 days. I have a ranch, right? Like we have animals that need to be fed every single day. It again is not easy to leave for 4 days. Outside of that, like all the other stuff that we have going on, it is not easy to leave for 4 days. But the thing that you all have to understand, and something that I did learn a long time ago, I did an episode on this. It's been quite a while back about your environment and changing your environment. Like one of the best ways to get the best results that you can is to change your environment, right? Because we all get stuck into the day to day, it's kind of every day is just another day. It's living the dream, right? Like you just get up, you do the same routines, you do the same stuff, you see the same people over and over and over again, everything just kind of gets blocked. But every so often, if you can remove yourself from that environment and put yourself in a completely different environment, it's a game changer, right? Like there's a reason why people like Tony Robbins and some of these guys, they do all this crazy jumping around and music and everything. Why is it? Because it's a completely different environment. And when you change your environment, your brain is a lot of times more receptive to learning things. So podcasts are great. I appreciate every one of you listening to this podcast. And I really, really, I hope and I pray all the time that I'm able to give you as much value as you possibly can to go out there and crush it in all the areas of your life. But at the end of the day, you could be listening to a podcast in the same environment that you're in all the time, and most likely you forget all this stuff. But you remove yourself from your normal environment, you put yourself in a new environment around a whole bunch of different types of people. Not only, number one, are you in a new environment, but number two, you're exposing yourself and you're being able to meet many, many more people that could potentially help you on your journey, right? You're gaining that network. And everybody knows, like the old saying, your network is your net worth. So if you're not doing those things, highly encourage it. Now to get to the main point of the podcast, which is this is something that David Goggins talked about. And, you know, I've heard over the years kind of some different variations of this, but man, did it just seem to hit home. It really did for me. And I felt like I would be doing you all a disservice to not pass this message along. In fact, Ed Milet has kind of a variation of this exact same, I don't know if you want to call it a concept or kind of teaching or whatnot, but basically, and David Goggins, I believe, had talked about this in his book, or he talked about it in the audio version of his book, one of the two. But he kind of took it a step further this time, and this is something I want to pass on. So again, this isn't coming from me. This was something that David Goggins had talked about, and I'm just going to be the messenger here, and hopefully I can do it justice. But so what had happened is he was sitting there in a chair, and he was kind of being somewhat interviewed by Andy Frisella and Ed Milet, and the topic of death came up. Now, I get, like, in Western cultures, maybe it's just our country, whatever, we don't talk about death a whole lot, right? Like, most people don't want to talk about it. I get it. Like, it's kind of squeamish. It doesn't necessarily make you feel all, like, shiny and happy. Now, I know maybe some people that have different faiths are like, I can't wait to get to heaven. But then usually it's like, but I'm not ready to go quite yet, right? Because death is scary. It's unknown. It's like the one thing in our life that no matter how much control we may think we have over everything, it's the one thing we can't control. I mean, you could be sitting here doing great, and then boom, you kick over from a heart attack, right? Like, having gone through that with my dad, it's even more real. And so they got on the topic of death and kind of how you approach death. And so Goggins had kind of gone into this, you know, he's like, I don't really call myself a Christian. Like, I don't usually talk a whole lot about God, but he was saying, you know, I kind of picture, at the end of my life, there's going to be this big long line of people looking to get into heaven, right? Whatever that looks like for you, whatever. But what heaven is, you know, what this line is doing is basically you're being judged. So he's like, if I'm sitting here in this chair, God would be across from me when it's my turn. And I believe what happens at that point is that back here on this wall behind us, there's going to be two different charts. There's going to be the chart that when you were born 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 80 years ago, 100 years ago, whatever it is, there's this chart that God made for your life. And if you went above and beyond if you hit your potential, this is what that chart looks like. This is what you've accomplished. Maybe this is the relationships you had. This would be the optimal version of yourself. And then he went on to say that what terrifies me is that right next to that is the chart of who you are or who you were, how you lived. And if those charts don't match up, that's a real, real bummer. Because when you get to the end of your life and you see the person that you could have been, and then you realize the person that you actually became, what does that gap look like? The person who God intended you to be, if you were going to live full out, right? You were going to do all the stuff you wanted to do. That's over here. But then for most of us, myself included, 100%, our chart is over there. And could you imagine sitting in this chair, whatever, playing your harp in the clouds, whatever it is, and you see these two charts and it's like, man, I could have done all that. Like when you made me, God, like you made me in order, like you made me with the ability to accomplish all these things and do all these things and live this certain way, but I actually only did all of that over there. Like that's almost like a terrifying thought for me. And I know so often, because we don't think a lot about death, I don't think that concept really comes to us, right? Because we get up, we do the same stuff every day. We, you know, maybe we don't take a lot of chances. Maybe we don't take a lot of risk. Maybe we don't do a lot of things because it's always like we're just kind of looking for the next phase of our life. You know, once the kids get a little older, then it's once they get out of the house, then once I retire, and then it's once I can, you know, do this. And we're always just kind of like coasting through to the next spot. But if you ever stopped and thought, there's going to come a day where I'm being judged, and maybe, and I get like this might be different for different types of beliefs or whatnot, but the reality is none of us actually know, right? Like we have our belief, we have our faith, but no one actually knows when you die or what's going to happen. And so what if this is how it looks? Like what if the hell that is talked about is actually the life that you lived because you weren't willing to live the life that you could have lived, right? Like what if you get to the end of your life and you look at it, like I said, like you see this chart and it's like, you know, when God created you in the womb, right? Like when you were first thought of, God had all of these things for your life. God wanted you to do all of these different big, massive, awesome, world-changing, life-changing, like super amazing things, right? But you didn't. That's your chart over there. And that's the chart of, I barely got by. I didn't love people the way that I could have. I was full of anger and bitterness and regret so often that it got in my way. That's your life. Maybe that's the hell that you went through. And so if you start understanding that we are, number one, we're all going to die. And then number two, if there is any variation of this type of judgment, right? Because like if you're a Christian, you believe that once you're saved, it's good, right? Like once you're saved, you're good. But then like, do you ever worry that you're sitting there looking at these two charts and you're just like, oh my gosh, I just never thought that I could have been capable of all of those things. I feel like I did some stuff, right? I did some stuff in my life. I kind of went for it a couple times, but then I also failed a couple times. So I didn't really try again. I failed in that, and so I didn't really want to try that anymore. You know, maybe I tried in a business and didn't work out, so I just kind of packed it up. And, you know, maybe I listened to the people who were like, you know, your goals are too big. You know, or I listened to the people that are like, that's a stupid idea. Maybe I listened to, you know, who knows? Could be your family members, right? That are telling you, oh, don't get too big for your britches, right? Maybe if I hadn't listened to those people, maybe if I hadn't listened to that inner voice telling me that I couldn't do these things or that, you know, these ideas were stupid or silly or whatever, maybe I could have lived on that chart, right? Like maybe that's what my chart would be looking at. And then David Goggins even took it a little further. He said, what I'm looking for is the scribbles. And this was like one of my favorite parts of the whole day. And it's like the scribbles, you know, like they're like, what do you mean the scribbles? He's like, not only do I want God to be like, this is who you could have been, right? Because he tells a story. He was like 300 pounds. He was, you know, spraying for cockroaches. He was super unhappy, super unhealthy. And then he ended up going, losing all the weight, becoming a Navy SEAL, you know, crazy story. If you haven't read the book, Can't Hurt Me, couldn't recommend it enough, right? And he's like, that was kind of like my life path was the other chart. And most people stay on that. But he's like, not only do I want to live the best possible life that God could have planned for me, but he's like, when I look over there, I want there to be scribbles at the bottom of it. So that way, when I ask God, like, what's all those scribbles? He looks at me and he says, man, like, you did even more than what I thought. Like, I didn't even realize that you could do all of that stuff. I had to write the last few things in. Like, I had to scribble that on there. Because you lived in a way that was so much bigger and you accomplished so many more things and you did so many more things that, like, I had to add some stuff. Like, you outworked me. Right? Like, that's what he said. He's like, I want God to tell me that you outworked even me on this one. And so it was just, like, so fascinating to me. Because it's never really been broken down for me that way. Like I know you always think about, you know, maybe if you die and like, what would your life have looked like? You know, maybe if, or, you know, if you die sooner rather than later, will you have enough time to do all these things? But the real thing is like, if you could picture the best version of yourself, and this is something that can be very hard, especially if you come from certain backgrounds. Maybe you grew up super poor and you don't even know what the best version of yourself would be in finances. Maybe you grew up in terrible relationships. You don't even know what good relationships look like. You know, maybe you grew up in a family that just, you know, generation after generation just eats too much and is unhealthy and overweight and like all these things. And you don't even have a clue what a good diet looks like. And these are real problems. They are. Like most of these problems that you see, they're real problems. You know, and it's not a lack of maybe even motivation or a lack of, it's sometimes it's just a lack of awareness. It's a lack of awareness knowing that there is some version of us that God created that could be so much better than what any of us are living right now. Now, should you use that to get beat down and depressed over it and like, oh, I'm not living up? No, but it's such a good way to get the 2x4 over the head to get things put back together the right way, right? Like it's so much better. Like I would hate this if I got to the end of my life and I looked at my chart and God was like, man, you have no idea the type of stuff I had planned for you. But here you are. And you died overweight. You died not making enough money to provide for your family. You know, you died not having love in your heart and relationships with those around you. You died living about 20% of what you actually could have lived. Like, that is terrifying. It's terrifying to me, at least. And I would encourage you, like, I believe that we have to start kind of looking at those things. Because one of the best mentors, and Nicholas Baerle said this on the podcast, been quite a while back, but one of the best mentors that you'll ever find is the version of yourself that you could be, right? Like the best version of yourself could be the best mentor that you ever find, right? Because if you look at yourself, and Ryan Stueman did a really, really good exercise around this. If you guys haven't heard that, you could go back and listen to that episode as well. Where it's basically like, you know, close your eyes and envision the absolute best version of yourself. What would that person look like? I'm talking physically. Would you have six-pack abs? Would you be ripped, veins popping out, right? Like how would you look if you were the best version of yourself physically? And then think about mentally. What would the best version of yourself be mentally? What would your thoughts be? Would you be thinking about love and maybe legacy, and you know, maybe it would be like compassion for other people, or maybe it would be like a hardened mindset. Maybe you've gotten soft, right? Like maybe things affect you that really shouldn't affect you or you have no control over. So what would your psychology look like? What would your finances look like? Like how would you be dressed in an ideal world? And I don't think there's any right answers to any of these, by the way. This is you. Because some people, you know, if you were wealthy, if you were fit, if you were, you know, psychologically where you want to be, that might look completely different than me, because the best version of you probably is different than what I would think the best version of me is. But now all of a sudden, if you can ever find a way to create that best version of yourself, that chart to where you have the scribbles on, what would that person look like? What would they feel like? But most importantly, what would they do? What types of decisions would they be making? Would they make the investments that maybe you've been scared to make? Maybe. Would they, you know, wake up at 6 a.m. and get a workout in before they go off to work? Probably. Right? But it becomes much, much easier once you can kind of get an idea of what that very best version of yourself, again, whether that's physically, whether that's mentally, spiritually, like all these different ways, financially. What would that person look like? What actions would they take? What types of decisions would they be making in their life? Would they cut certain people out of their life? Would they get other people back in? Would they invest in masterminds and live events and business coaching or whatever? Like, what would those people do? The best version of yourself. What would that person do? And now all of a sudden you can start saying, okay, this donut might taste really, really good, but the best version of myself physically would not eat that garbage. Right? Like this, and we're all guilty, guys. Like we all fall short, right? We do. So it's not to say that you can't ever enjoy a donut again. But I'm saying once you get to the point to where you start thinking about that chart of the most optimal version of you in your life, you can start making decisions based around that. You know, would the person that I want to be just sit in this dead-end job, complaining about their life every day, complaining about how bad everything sucks, being negative, pushing people away? Would the best version of yourself tolerate any of that? Would the best version of yourself tolerate not making enough money to be able to provide for their family? Would the best version of yourself tolerate, you know, it's a little rainy outside, so I just don't want to go work out today? You can start asking yourself those questions once you understand what the end looks like. Because if the end really does look like, here's one chart, this is where you were when you died, this is what you did with your life, yeah, you did some cool things, right? You did a couple things. But over here, this is what you could have done if you would have played full out. Maybe if you'd have had a little more faith in me, right? Like if God's saying, maybe if you'd have had a little more faith in me, you would have looked like this. Your life would have looked like this. But instead, you were scared, you were nervous, you were anxious, you were depressed, all these different things. Didn't have enough faith. Didn't have enough faith that before you were born, I created the capability to absolutely crush it in life. But instead, you played small. So guys, I wanted to pass this along because for me at least, it was super impactful hearing that. And I felt like it was kind of that smash over the head with the 2x4 that we all need. And that's why, again, I'm such a big believer in live events and in coaching and stuff like that, because every once in a while you need that kick in the butt, right? Like you need that little bit of inspiration, motivation, maybe just that perspective shift. And hopefully I've been able to provide that for you today. All right, everybody, get out there. Have an awesome day. Have an awesome week. Have a really cool guest next week that I'm really, really excited for. Talk to y'all soon.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.